The Winter Rose by Rita Bradshaw, read by Colleen Prendergast. Prologue. Rose was dreaming. Even in her sleep, she knew it wasn't real, but that didn't matter. She wanted to stay in the dream, where she was safe in Davy's arms, and he was smiling down at her, his brown eyes alight with love. But then, his arms weren't gentle anymore. They were rough, pulling at her nightdress, and whiskey-soaked breath hit her full in the face. She reared up in terror, fully awake now as a hard weight descended on her. Her legs were being forced apart, and as she struggled and then screamed, the flat of a man's hand slapped her violently across the face, jerking her neck so that she felt as though her head had been torn off. Muttered obscenities and the rank smell of male sweat added to the horror of what was happening, and on the periphery of her mind, she realised her screams had woken Betsy, who was crying and calling for her. In spite of the crippling pain in her neck and the sheer weight of him that was squeezing the breath out of her chest, she continued to resist, kicking and biting and pummeling at his thick-set body for all she was worth. Even when she felt him enter her, she didn't give in, and when he tried to adjust his position to grab her hands, she managed to twist and wriggle out from beneath him. But before she could escape, he'd caught her again, pinning her on the edge of the bed now as he attempted to enter her once more. Betsy's cries were frantic, and it was this, her child's distress, that gave her a burst of superhuman strength. From somewhere she found the power to push at him so ferociously that, perched as he was on the edge of the bed straddling her, he lost his balance and went catapulting backwards with a crash that shook the house. Her only thought was to get to Betsy before he came at her again. Part 1. Judas, 1902. Chapter 1. As soon as David O'Leary opened the back door of the house and stepped into the kitchen, he knew something was wrong. There was no dinner cooking in the range oven, no pans simmering on the hob, and no Rose turning to greet his arrival with the smile that always lit up her lovely face. He stood stock still for a moment. And then, as he heard a low moan coming from upstairs, he hurried into the hall, calling her name as he did so. Before he put a foot on the stairs, Kathy Bates, the local midwife, appeared on the small square landing, her plump face red and perspiring. "Oh, it's you, lad. That time already, is it? By, the afternoon's flown by." Ignoring that, he said, "What's happening?" "The babby's coming, that's what's happening. But it's not due for another 2 weeks." "Well, it clearly didn't get the message, cos it's on its way, lad. I dropped by mid-morning, and Rose was having pains then, so I stayed. It shouldn't be much longer from the look of things. Now you're here, put some water on to boil, and while you're about it, make a pot of tea. I'm fair parched."
"In a minute. I want to see Rose."
He took the stairs two at a time, and when he entered the bedroom, he saw his wife lying amidst the tangled sheets, her face flushed and her big eyes expressing the pain of a wounded doe. The bedroom was uncomfortably stuffy, the June day was a hot one, and as he reached the bed and kneeled beside it, he said,
"I'm here, lass, I'm here. Why didn't you send word to the shipyard?"
"Send you word?" It was the midwife who answered, having followed him into the room.
"Don't be daft, lad. What would have been the point of that? I could have come home to be with her."
"Oh, aye, and likely lose your job in the process. Where would we be if a man came home before the end of his shift just because his wife's having a bairn? No foreman would stand for that, and rightly so. Now get out of my way so I can see to her." David had always liked Kathy, but right at this moment he could have cheerfully throttled her. Rose was clutching his hand and trying to stifle another moan, and as he stroked the damp tendrils of hair from her brow, he murmured,
"You're doing fine, lass, just fine. I love you so much."
Kathy shifted her feet behind him, clearly uncomfortable at the show of affection, and her voice reflected this when she said,
"All right, she knows you're home now. Go and put that water on and make yourself useful. This is no place for a man. And don't forget the tea."
He didn't answer the midwife directly, but as he stood, he said to Rose,
"I'll bring the water up shortly, and then I'm staying with you till it's born."
"You are not." The midwife's voice was sharper now. "I've never heard out like it in all me born days. You'll stay downstairs like any other man, and I'll call you once it's all over and I've got Rose cleaned up, all right?"
"No, it's not all right."
Glancing back,